Blog Talk Radio.
A modern day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny springtime, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon back after a two-week hiatus, the toughest, talkingest chief operating officer in the history of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. Tough talking, Troy Hall. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing wonderful, and thank you for letting me have a couple of weeks off. That was great.
Well, you know, we've worked into your contract a very, very generous, schedule, and it affords you that opportunity that you need to take the 7 or 8 cruises that you take each and every year. So we're happy to accommodate you.
I know, thank you, but I wasn't cruising the last time. The last time I was presenting my doctoral paper at... in Tennessee.
What's going to happen when I have to come on this show and introduce you as Dr. Troy? That I'm not sure I can do that.
Well, it'll actually be Mr. Dr. Troy to you.
Well, listen, your thesis in global leadership and stuff like that is something that we're talking about today. As you know, you and I have been first and foremost evaluating the value of social media and hashtags and Twitter this and all this other stuff. Today we get to hear from a real credit union leader. You know, we have this contest on the show, you know, who's hotter, Jason or Troy. Our guest today literally took that meaning to a different level.
Absolutely. I was actually going to tell you that if we did that, I'd have to say that Joe was the hottest. I mean, there's
yes,
no doubt about
it. Today, there's no doubt about it. Our guest today, a great dramatic story, credit union dealing with the unexpected and doing it the right way. I put it in my tweet this morning. You cannot tweet leadership. It has to be tangible. It has to be reviewable. Actions that make a difference, and we're going to go up to the Old Dominion and Joe Thomas Jr., President and CEO of Fairfax County Federal Credit Union, and we'll do it all right after this. Joe Thomas, we're broadcasting live from about 8 miles away from where George Strait went to college. We are so excited you're on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thank you very much.
So great to have you on. You've got to tell us about you, your career with credit unions, your family. Tell us about Joe Thomas Jr.
Well, start off with, I'm happily married for just over 25 years, and I have 4 wonderful children, 3 of them in college and 1 about ready to grad, or actually only 1 in college, 2 have graduated, and 1's in senior in high school right now. I got into credit unions before I got married. I actually started in a slightly different way than most people get into credit unions. I joined the Peace Corps and was assigned to work with credit unions in Central Africa in a place called Malawi. Did that for 2 years and then worked for the World Council of Credit Unions on an AID project in that part of Africa for a little more than 3 years, and came back to the U.S. and 1991 and started working at Navy Federal for a few years. And in 1994, I joined Fairfax County Federal Credit Union as the assistant manager, and as I was told at the time, the third male employee that had ever been there. So.
Yeah, and you know, and Joe, it's really glad to have you here as the CU Times CEO of the Year. And I have to tell you, you know, we talked about this a little bit before you came on, that you put a new spin on being the hottest person on the radio show. Thank God I've got some competition now, because Jason was absolutely no competition at all.
Yeah, of course. So. Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not.
Yeah. And, you know, and the other thing, Joe, I have to say to you is that, you know, normally as a CEO, they talk about how their job is to go around putting out fires. I think you've taken that to a whole new level.
Yeah, I think so. What I'd like to say is we have now really smoking hot rates.
Oh, okay. See, now we're cooking. Now this will be really good. So,
yeah.
All right. So actually, just to let folks in who may not understand the whole story, sometime in July last year, there was a little fire that occurred on your roof. And so, like, give us a little bit of background to that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about you being the CEO of the year.
Sure. We had had a roofer on our or roofers on our doing some work at the credit union back in July for the whole week, and one day it was particularly hot, and the air conditioning was running pretty heavy, and we could really smell the kind of the tar smell that they were using on the roof, and all of a sudden a smoke alarm went off. We evacuated the building, and as we were evacuating the building, I noticed the guy still working on the roof. So I went and told him he had to, you know, he needed to get off, that the fire department was coming, and he said sure, he was going to take the ladder down that was up against the side of the building because he didn't want to get tar on the carpet inside. And I said okay, fine. I met the fire department when they got to the building and said, hey, look, we've had a fire. You know, they came off with the axes and the crowbars and everything ready to rip the building apart. And I said, I got keys to everything. You don't have to use any of that. So we went into the building, and they looked at the fire panel and said, yeah, smoke detector inside one of the HVAC systems had gone off. And if I would turn off the circuit breaker for those, they would let us back into the building. So I walked up to the third floor where the circuit breakers were, and I turned them off. And as I started leaving, I noticed in the boardroom there was a lot of smoke hanging from the ceiling. So I went to open up a window to let that smoke out. And when I did, I saw the roofer, and he was trying to put the fire out with some insulation that he had taken out of the wall from a hole that the fire had caused. And
wow.
I said, you got to go. I put a fire extinguisher on, a couple of fire extinguishers on it. It didn't work. And the guy was too frightened to climb down the ladder and afraid to walk through the building because of the tar on his feet. And I had to tell him very emphatically that it was fine, grab his arm, and I didn't care about the the carpet and the tar that would come up. And
I'll tell you, I saw that story, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to imagine what it's like. You go to work, you know, you have your coffee, you attend your meetings, you're minding your own business, and the next minute you're up there trying to convince somebody that they've got to get out of a building that may potentially be on fire. What amazed me is everything that happened. The fire department comes. They start doing everything they're doing. You guys were in business that very day.
Yeah, the fire started about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And once the fire department, you know, it actually broke through the, you know, you could see the flames coming off the building, and the fire department called a second alarm. We had 40-some fire trucks there, and they were all over the building. They had two hoses on the building, which just so happened to be hitting right above our computer room, and that completely that ruined every piece of electronic equipment we had in the computer room. But About 6 o'clock, they said the fire was out. They were going to let us back in the building. Luckily, of course, nobody was hurt, and the fire never made it into the building, but the water and smoke was everywhere. So we had started switching over everything even before we were allowed in to our disaster site, which was in one of our branches in another side of the county. And so by about 7 o'clock when we were back in the building, we were able to kind of acknowledge to the to everybody that needed electronically to know where we are, the ATMs, the home banking, the Federal Reserve, all of that, and started pointing our computer systems to our disaster site. And the IT people worked throughout the night, and we opened, which was a county payday, the next day on time. And by 11 o'clock that morning, had been up the whole time and being able to do transactions. It was just an issue with the home banking being able to see all of our members being able to see new transactions as they came on. But that was up by later that morning, and I was very proud of all the staff and all the vendors that we worked with that were able to get everything back up and running. And for the most part, a lot of people never knew that we were down.
Wow.
And
wow,
that was quite a testament. We had about $600,000 worth of damages to the building. And most of that was the computer room and having to completely rebuild that.
Amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, we love doing shows talking about real things, and when you mentioned $600,000 in damages and stuff like that, it was obviously a really big deal. We've talked on this show so much recently about the value of local, and you said, hey, it was a county payday the very next day, and we're a county credit union. I just think it's great you guys are doing, the things that you're doing in your local marketplace. What are some of your big plans in 2014?
Well, in 2014, we'd like to pretty much continue everything that happened in 2013 without the fire. We really did. We had a terrific year as far as putting on loans, and we were able to grow our loans by about 50% last year, almost completely in real estate. We did a lot of second mortgages and home equity lines of credit. As the economy has kind of picked up in this area and housing prices have come mm-hmm. back, there was a lot of call for refinancing and if not complete refinancing, kind of a freeing up of equity in homes, and people had gone back to doing a lot of repairs, things that they hadn't done for a while, and we'd like to see that continue in the coming year. We also have a number of new products. A big push will be coming out in the next couple of weeks on our mobile banking product, and just trying to keep the gators at bay, as it were.
Yeah, and Joe, obviously one of the things that you talked about was how this thing started a little bit was, the guy told you to go in and turn off the alarm so that way you can get back in. So note to self would be, when turning off an alarm, make sure that there is no reason to keep the alarm on. So I would assume that would be the first thing I'd have to think about. And so,
if you can't find the circuit breaker switch because of the smoke, you might not want to do that.
There would be some clues there in the general overview of leadership. It would be leadership by empirical evidence. But one of the things that I thought would be important in this story that you could share with some leaders is the value to contingency planning, because that was one of the ways in which you would have been able to have gotten back up so quickly and running again within, I think it was a 24-hour period, if I'm not mistaken, from the storyline. And so can you just speak a little bit to disaster recovery and what that means to businesses and to leaders?
I'd be happy to. I know a few years ago there was a real lot of talk, especially after Katrina, about, you know, being prepared for that type of disaster. And that was kind of on the heels of, a terrorist type attack or type of situation. What we did was kind of switch around our preparedness instead of preparing for one type of disaster. We looked at our different systems and how you would replace particular systems if something should happen, a catastrophe on the system itself. And so when we redid our business resumption center, we focused on that so that systems would be replaced, and that we had all the documentation, and the drills were all about replacing one system after another versus everything being gone, and that helped keep things manageable during the process, because we were, we weren't replacing a computer room. We were replacing our core system. We were replacing our communications system. We were replacing our backup system or administrative system, our email system. And by having it kind of broken down beforehand and documented that way, it definitely assisted us in getting through that disaster.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a fascinating story. I was compelled by both what had happened, again, just the unexpected, a fire. It doesn't even seem plausible. I mean, how many credit unions are going to experience that kind of thing? Not today, but maybe the whole year. On our show, one of the things that we always focus on is the concept of generational issues. When we get back from the break, I want to ask you about this great quote you had about, you said, people my age think one way and think everyone else thinks the same. We have to figure out where others are coming from. We talk about generational stuff on this show all the time. I've had conversations with people this very week from Generation Y. I'm the first to admit I don't always connect with them or understand how they communicate. It can be a little frustrating at times. I want to ask you about this generational imperative for credit unions like yours to do these kinds of things, to engage your business in a proactive way, to make sure that you do all the little detailed things the right way, the transactions that matter to those county employees. That's the kind of stuff we love talking about on this show, and we will do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't say.
That is right. But today, the hottest credit union in the country is Fairfax County Federal Credit Union. Joe, we talked about generational stuff. Troy and I talk about it all the time. You took the emphasis out of checking with your new offerings. As somebody who doesn't even know where his checkbook is, I never use my checkbook anymore. I am all debit card and cash all the time. How are you guys staying focused on these generational changes that are taking place in our marketplace right now?
Well, as you said, one of the things we did at the beginning of last year was move away from checking accounts, calling it a checking account. One of the things that we found with a lot of the younger people was that they really don't like checking. They don't like the term. They think it's very, very antiquated and old school, as it were. So we made a shift to what we call shift count checking now, or shift accounts, and that has de-emphasized the word checking, the whole process of writing a check and using checks. Of course, people can still do that, but moving to a checking or a transaction-based account set up with the primary medium being a debit card. And that it's actually worked out very well for us. I mean, the acceptance rate's been great, not just for the you know, the Gen Y and younger folks. They're adapting to it very easily, but even the older you know, people, as old, some of them as old as I am, are don't have any problem with that because they understand how checking accounts work, and we just say, well, we're calling ours a shipped account now, and
right.
So that's worked out well.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important that you respond, you know, obviously to vernacular within the marketplace that is helpful. I think one of the challenges that we face anytime we introduce new language into an already confused marketplace is to make sure that people understand it. So I noticed on your site that you still keep the word checking in there, but as you said, you reference it a little bit more as a shift account. And actually sounds a little more trendy, you know, to kind of say, hey, I'm going to write a check. I'm going to write you a shift for my shift account today. So.
Yeah,
you know, in doing that. So, but Joe, we really do appreciate you being on. Certainly, you know, you have shared with us some information why the CU Times would select you as the CEO of the year. Certainly, you understood the concepts of having a business continuity plan in place, which is good. You leveraged your particular situation, not only for you personally, but I mean just what you did for the credit union, having it back up and running. You showed the complete viability of an organization when performance matters, how they actually make sure that the show can go on even in in the face of adversity. So really kind of appreciate that. One of the things we like to do is give folks an opportunity that they want to reach out to you when they listen back to the show. What would be the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Oh, sure. Probably the best way would be my email address, jthomas@fairfaxcu.org.
And I'll tell you what, we'll be very, very happy to pass that on to people. Troy and I have been doing this show a long time, and Troy will tell you right now, I got way off script right at the beginning of this show, and I did want to ask you the last question. If you were walking through an airport and dropped your phone or your iPod on the ground, what kind of music would we get to listen to? What kind of music does Joe Thomas Jr. like?
Well, I think, you know, starting in July, my music shift may have changed a little bit, shifted around Talking Heads, Burning Down the House, and
one.
Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, that's funny.
That's good. You know what? It's so funny. The sponsor of this show, Marquee, one of their principal owners, Jay Cassing, sent me that email about our last show, Social Mediocre, two shows ago, and he said, same as it ever was. And he was talking about the Talking Heads. And in fact, is it David Byrne, the lead singer? I think it is, though. But he referenced the Talking Heads. That is so funny. Hey, I will listen to some Talking Heads this afternoon. Hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us. This was a great interview. We enjoyed the time with you, and we wish you nothing but continued peace and prosperity in your personal and professional life. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very nice talking to you, Jason and Troy.
All right.
Thank
Take
you.
Care, man. All right.
Awesome.
Back right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
I'm sitting there making a note to remind people about the sponsor, Marquee, and then our guest talks about the Talking Heads, which just, Troy, we keep doing it week after week, man.
I know. I just wanted to say, as we get ready to close the show, you shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
Rattle my brain.
Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious. Great balls of fire.
Balls of fire.
So, of course, I will never make it on American Idol, but I thought in tribute to the CEO of the year that we should certainly name Great Balls of Fire for him.
No. You could definitely. I think you could make it on American Idol. Maybe you could be an extra in one of those Swiffer commercials that they show from time to time on Fox. Now, listen, seriously, that interview, you got to the question that I did not want to miss and did. For people that don't know, Troy and I send the guest a couple of questions and talking points. And before the show, we'll agree on an order. I'll take the first question, Troy will take the second question. And you talked about being prepared, basically what we call in the musical vernacular, in the performance vernacular, practice. Practice, 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 and preparation is the stone-cold difference between people and organizations that prosper when times get tough.
Yes.
Well, anyway, it's I keep thinking back on all the things that we talked about.
Were you going to make a point with that?
I thought I did.
Do not leave our audience lying out there wondering why you said all that stuff, because you just wasted 45 seconds of our time.
No, I didn't. Well, I'll tell you what. Next week you get another CEO on this show. I've decided that April is going to be a leadership month. We're going to talk to real leaders in the credit union marketplace and ask them about real things that are happening. Next week, we've got another great CEO coming on the show. The week after that, we're going to reconnect with Jim Blaine from State Employees Credit Union. He's going to come on and talk to us about risk-based capital. He said it's one of the most important things that's ever happened to the credit union marketplace. We're going to talk to him about that. And, of course, Troy, I want to end the show by asking you, what kinds of big plans do you have for the balance of the week?
Realistically, I have major project 2 that is due for this class I'm in called Economic Drivers, and so I'll be very excited about finishing that up this weekend. That's my entire plan.
Well, I know you're busy, folks. I've looked into potentially going back to school for a master's degree or an MBA or stuff like that. It always seems like much too much of an effort and investment in time. Troy's out there working on his PhD. Listen, folks, today you heard from a really, really cool credit union professional that in his moment of anxiety or whatever, he did the right stuff. Just I love talking to people that do these real things. I'm not getting off Twitter. I think Twitter has a relevant place in our conversation as credit union professionals and bankers and stuff like that. But folks, it takes more than a tweet to understand some of the big issues that are going to impact the credit union marketplace. And we love bringing you great guests and great stories each and every week. Right before we get out of here, I got to tell you, I finally watched Jobs, Ashton Kutcher, on my iPad 1. My iPad 1 has become basically a small TV that I can take to bed with me. But I did watch Jobs on my iPad 1 on Netflix. There was something perfectly poetic about that. I really did enjoy it. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. Just a great story about a very, very thoughtful and ingenious mind taking his moment in history to make a difference. So anyway, hey, listen, folks, big shout out, Joe Thomas Jr., President and CEO of Fairfax County Federal Credit Union. On behalf of Troy Hall and myself, until next we speak, we'll talk to you.